You're tuned to The Weekend, the weekly public affairs show, which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend, and joining us today is Denise Knight. Denise is the executive director of the El Paso Children's Hospital Foundation. Denise, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
And there's a lot of interesting things going on at the Children's Hospital Foundation. But first of all, as you and I were discussing before the program started, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about the history for people who may not be familiar with the foundation.
Well, I started working on this effort in June of 2006, and so it's a little over 10 years. But there are many people who worked on this long before me. And there was a very strong group of advocates, largely pediatricians and physicians and parents who'd had to take their child out of town for care, who felt like really city this size, it would be reasonable to have a higher level of care here for pediatrics, that had worked on Children's Hospital issue for many years. There had been multiple attempts. And so and none of those had really come to fruition. And Dr. Charlie Gutierrez, who we were also mentioning, we kind of call him the father of the Children's Hospital, was one of the people at the helm of that effort, dearly loved in this community. And so they, a lesson in perseverance, I think, you know, big ideas don't, they take constant sort of nurturing and being able to sort of nurture them on. And so in that period of time, we took a bond to the public. They approved the $120 million that built and provided basic equipment for the hospital. It was successful, and so we dug a hole in the ground and built that beautiful building.
As you mentioned earlier about having to go out of town for certain services, and that has happened in the past, and as you mentioned now, you have those facilities available here. Tell us a little bit about the doctors, because...
And that is the real story. You're very right about that. You know, this was the largest community in the United States without a children's hospital. In fact, this was the only Children's Miracle Network in the country without a children's hospital. And so this multi, you know, decade effort to make this happen, the real story was a pediatric specialist. If you're an adult and you get past that initial stage of not feeling well, you're likely going to be going to a specialist. And that's no different for children these days. At the time of the campaign, we had 19 pediatric specialists in El Paso. Now, we have more than our share of children under the age of 18. That's largely who Children's Hospitals serve, from neonates all the way up to age 18, sometimes older, if they're still being cared for by a pediatrician, maybe have some behavioral issues, developmental issues, that kind of thing. So that was the real story, and it has been a game changer. I think this is a separately licensed children's hospital, and that means complete dedication, no crossover into adult traffic, that kind of thing, and completely designed around children's needs. They've quadrupled the number of pediatric specialists in El Paso since it opened, and that's no small change. At the time, for example, there was only one pediatric endocrinologist, a huge issue with pediatric diabetes in our community, regretfully. And it took, you know, he also did some academic teaching. Both these hospitals are academic teaching hospitals. And so he spent a lot of time teaching and not as much time seeing patients. It took 18 months to get in to see him. So if you were a family who could afford to, you took your child to Fort Worth, to, you know, to Denver, to Phoenix, to wherever. And if you were a family that wasn't so fortunate, you were in a world of hurt. Today, we have 5 pediatric endocrinologists at El Paso Children's Hospital. That's almost unheard of. There was one pediatric surgeon. We had one pediatric surgeon. Today, we have 3. And across the board, you've seen that kind of change. There's a hospitalist program. We have 9 hospitalists. There's a dedicated, there were 2 pediatric oncologist, 1 hematologist oncologist board certified, and 1 pediatric oncologist that is not board certified but is dearly loved in this community, a saint, if you will, and that's Dr. Canales. Dr. Carcamo moved to Children's, and we have 5 pediatric oncologists today there. And that's one of the stories that we were kind of, I think, going to look more at, because that's been a real change. There had been multiple attempts to establish a children's oncology group in El Paso. It's a designation. It's certified by the National Cancer Institute. There's only like 210 in the world. There's only 172 in the United States, and El Paso Children's Hospital is one of them. Now, that's pretty astounding, you got to admit. And so that means we have the same research and protocols for our children here at home as a Sloan Kettering, as an MD Anderson, as a St. Jude's, but they get to stay here. The difference in having to leave for that kind of specialized care, and we all know someone probably who has had to, adult or child, it's the burden on a family. just socially, not being having your family around you to kind of support you when you're facing some tougher times in life is always difficult. But the expense involved, getting there and sustaining yourself while you're there, while you're taking care of somebody who's ill, and it's just a huge difference to be able to have this care here.
And Denise, one of the big issues that has come up, regardless of whether you're a child, an adult, is paying for that health care. And the Affordable Care Act came to pass, but there are still some families who struggle because, as you mentioned, you know, the community that we live in, we're not in a very affluent community. They're all very giving. And there are many doctors who chose to come here or stay here because of the people and because of the community.
Well, we're in the top 100 still, in the top 100 poorest communities in the United States. So one out of every four El Pasoans is living below the federal poverty level. Now, you may know, and a lot of our viewers probably know, that the federal poverty level hasn't changed very much in like 8-10 years longer. And so you're talking about a family of four at around $24,000. Well, they're barely subsiding as it is. And, you know, it's doing all they can to just pay the rent, keep the lights on, put food on the table, shoes on the kids, and school supplies. So all it takes is one catastrophic illness to kind of tip that. Largely speaking, in this country, we have taken care of kids. Policies change, programs change, but we've done a good job of taking care of kids. And that CHIP program that is in place, you know, there may be changes coming, but if they come to the door of El Paso Children's Hospital, they're taken care of. And so the hospital does need extra support for that. I think probably everyone is well aware that we had some controversy between the two hospitals in the last couple of years. So why leave that elephant in the room unmentioned? But that, I kind of call it the Great Hospital Wars. It was interesting because while all that's going on at the 30,000-foot level, though, the need never changed. People still got sick. People still got hurt. And they walked through that door every day. And the caregivers, the physicians, the nurses, and the support staff still got up every morning with no other purpose except to make someone better that day. And so we will do anything we can to give them the kind of support that they need. Now, in the oncology area, that's an area that we're developing. We have a campaign that we're rolling out right now. And some people may have seen ads on Facebook and that kind of thing for curing kids' cancer here at home. And we're featuring a lot of the children and ongoing. We're taking pictures of some of the kids every week, and there's plenty of them, unfortunately. They're seeing a slightly higher incidence here. And from what they expected. And so there's the fascinating thing about the Children's Oncology Group is that you and I probably, when we were in high school or grade school, if we knew a child who had cancer, it was pretty much a death sentence. I hate even saying those words. I can't tell you what a change has happened in that area. Today, there's a better than 80% cure rate on most children's cancers. Some of them are in the 90% range. Okay? And I think that is very exciting. And that is something worth fighting for. And that is almost entirely due to clinical trials. The Children's Oncology Group is a consortium, basically, when we say 210 in the world, 172 in the United States, of the leading clinical institutions that are working on pediatric cancer. They're sharing their data. You know, in one hospital, there's not enough cases to produce meaningful data for research. But you take 200 institutions and you share that data, and now you're able to really see some exciting things happen. And so, you know, if we're adults and we're asked to participate in a clinical trial for ourselves, it's kind of like, But if we have a sick kid, we're willing to do almost anything. And so the participation in clinical trials is really high. And it's proven to have just a dramatic effect on the cure rate for children's cancer. And that's ongoing. You know, there's now some pretty exciting things happening across the board for adults and children in very specific tumor treatment to where you're not treating the whole body. A lot of the chemotherapy and that was used affected other organs in the body and affected the whole body. And so now they're making some real strides towards science that is going to be very specific in that respect. And so that's all research. Well, they're sharing these research and protocols right now with all these institutions. The next step is to do what's called institutional research, where they do their own research here, develop their own trials. And that takes money. Taking care of people in need takes money. And so this Curing Kids Cancer Here at Home campaign allows people to, through a pledge all the way from $20 a month to $500 a month or something like that over a 10-month period of time, participate on different levels, be part of the supporters of Curing Kids Cancer Here at Home, and they'll take part in a banquet at the end of the year where we share with them the strides that have been made that year in cancer treatment and introduce them to the patients and show them, you know, a child going through cancer treatment, it's not real different than an adult. It takes about a 3-year regimen. You know, there's a lot of time sitting in a chair getting chemotherapy. And so it's not real different in that way. It takes a period of time. Well, in 3 years, you watch a child grow up. You watch a child develop mentally. And we have, I think one of the ones we've got featured here is like 16 months old. Okay. We have a child here, Mark, who's 14, who has adenocarcinoma, and he looks like he's 8 developmentally. He's still there at 14. I mean, all these kids and all these families are coping with, you know, that just that initial news when you receive it. And so we provide support. One of the things that we did through the foundation is, and it's extremely meaningful, it's not like a piece of equipment in that, but we provided the Spanish translations for the releases. There's about a 40-page release that you sign to participate in a clinical trial and have someone explain everything to you. Well, most folks, I mean, their first language somewhere in their background is Spanish here, and they were not available in Spanish. So we provided the Spanish translation, a medical quality, clinical quality translation, and continue to do that as new protocols come out, and they're shared around the country. And that is through Children's Miracle Network dollars.
And looking at some of these pictures that you mentioned, these children, it's incredible the strength that these children have. 4 years ago, I went to MD Anderson, and you see these children who they're happy and they're smiling, even though they're hurting, and you know they're hurting.
Well, and the family's hurting. And in children's hospitals, there's something called family-centered care. You know, if you're an adult, people will come visit you in the hospital room, or, you know, they kind of come and go, and you can kind of pretty much take care of yourself. But if you're a kid, you've got to have some people around you to help you get better. Well, children's hospitals specifically, that is really at the heart of everything in a children's hospital. Everything in that hospital is designed from top to bottom to make a child feel comfortable. In fact, you know, digress just for a moment, when we were designing the hospital, we visited a hospital in Asheville, North Carolina. It was Levine Children's Hospital. It was built by the Levine family that owns all the Family Dollar stores in the United States. And we're sorry they're not from El Paso. But it was an amazing feeling in this hospital. It was just really beautiful. There was an art quality to what they did. And when we were getting ready to leave, we were waiting for the cab, already done with everything. And the guy, when we were leaving, you know, was pulling up the cab, and he said, "Oh, yeah, kids cry when they leave here all the time." And we're like, "You mean they cry when they come?" "No, they cry when they leave, because it's such an amazingly beautiful environment and so stimulating, and there's so much happening for them while they're there that it's, you know, compared to what they have when they go home." Well, we're in a poor community, and it's not real different here, and that really stuck with us. It's not that we want to make kids cry. That's not what I'm saying. But we really wanted that when you walk in the children's hospital, there's the enchanted forest. The lights change from day to night. The sounds of the forest change. It's a playground, Swiss Family Robinson type feeling. And so, you know, a lot of waiting around, a lot of siblings in El Paso. We take our siblings with us when we go everywhere, right? And so a place for families to play, and you go in, the abuelitas are sitting there visiting, and it's a family-type atmosphere. You go upstairs, there's amazing art, suitable, appropriate to children's environment throughout the hospital, and that is, you know, there's now this evidence-based research for what we all know to begin with, which is that art can make you feel better. It can soothe you. It can lift your spirits. And so now in public institutions, that's really being taken to heart, and you can really see evidence of that in the Children's Hospital that's under the purview of the El Paso Children's Foundation. It's called the Healing Arts Program. We also fund Child Life Program. And the Child Life Program is the glue that helps say, okay, here's what's about to happen. Here's what we're doing. Here's what just happened. And that sort of think Fisher-Price MRI, okay? And we fund something called ChemoDucks for the kids, where they have their ChemoDuck has a port just like they do, and so they can learn how to take care of it and learn how to use that. We fund a therapeutic arts program where they get to take part in you know, art themselves and producing a lot of art themselves. And we feature some of their art in various ways throughout the year. In fact, the Milagro Gala last year, a lot of their art was on various things that we shared with people. And So all of this, you know, if you're a little kid, depending on your age, you may not have the words to process what's going on with you. And so, but art is certainly a tool for that. So everything in this hospital is designed around that. But at the core of it is the idea of this group of specialists that can very easily collaborate, consult, and produce a customized care program for these patients. And that's what happens there. And that's what we were lacking before. So the pediatric cardiologist gets to talk to the pediatric surgeon, gets to talk to the pediatric intensivist, gets to talk to the pediatric anesthesiologist, which, by the way, we had no pediatric anesthesiologist before. We had adult anesthesiologists taking care of little bitty babies and doing a fine job, but not the level of care we want for our kids. And so it goes on and on. But it's a joy every day to support the work these people do, and anything that we can do to lighten the load of families while they're in the process of coping with some of the worst news they've ever had in their life, and get them through this period to where, you know, we're now at a point where, thankfully, we've got some kids that we knew pretty well when they were going through their care when they were 3, 4, 5, and they're 8, 9, and 10 now, you know? And we're now old enough, you know, and have been doing this long enough, and still was still a very new institution. Children's did, you know, in the course of this, declare bankruptcy to sort of be able to cope with the situation that had developed there. They're about to discharge their bankruptcy, and so they're for all practical purposes in the black. And if in our Milagro Gala this year, we've got blue sky and sunflowers, and that's because we feel like it is a new day. And these are big ideas, you know, saying I'm going to start a children's hospital from scratch when there's nothing there and there's never been anything there and it's failed several times before. These are big ideas and big efforts that are so crucial to the fiber of our community. When somebody comes in from another company and wants to move into El Paso and the realtor's taking them around and they're looking at homes and looking at schools, do you have a children's hospital is one of the questions that's asked. And so these are big economic drivers. Children's has about 600 employees. UMC has about 2,700. Texas Tech has, I think, over 3,000. So a big economic driver for the community. In the foundation, we have a volunteer corps. Kids from age 8 all the way up can volunteer, and including adults, obviously. And we attract a lot of kids that are interested in going into some sort of medical profession now. I don't know that you can really calculate that effect on our community in the time to come, in future decades, that they're thinking about doing this and thinking about those level of jobs, and they're thinking about staying here to perform them. So exciting times.
And because, as you mentioned earlier about the fact that some of the children cry when they're leaving because they're so attached, that happens, and I've seen examples of it where the nurses, the doctors, they get attached
yeah.
to the children.
Oh, yeah. And these are just such special people that, you know, Dr. Burt, you know, Amanda, there's just a number of people that every family that they whose lives they touch and every they cross, they hold a special place in their heart. And there's so many of the caregivers that are like that. We have a grateful patient program that we're initiating right now where people can recognize, you know, their caregiver and kind of do that closed loop return with just, you know, a small gift. And so curing kids' cancer is here at home is a program where we're really showcasing the fact that this is happening here. It's not happening someplace else. It's happening right here, right now. We have a child there right now that is – there's only one in the nation of the particular type of mutation in cancer that he has. And the minute that they discovered this, if he'd gone to another institution, they don't have – they don't run the full scan of tests that a children's oncology group runs. They don't have access to the clinical trials that a children's oncology group has. And so he would not have received that kind of care had he gone to just any kind of institution. And so it's hugely important that we understand this is a very advanced level of care for pediatric cancer. And so we're really hoping that anything, any level that anyone can do to support is meaningful. There's not we have something called the Every Penny Counts Pledge. Our overhead is paid for by the hospitals, and we're judged on return on investment, which means that every penny you give me, every dollar you give me, is going to go to where you designated. If you care about the neonatal intensive care unit, if you care about pediatric cancer, if you care about child life, your dollar is going to go to that and go to that in full. And every penny stays right here in El Paso.
And, you know, Denise, as you mentioned that earlier, you mentioned hospitals like MD Anderson and St. Jude's Hospital. When people are in a doctor's office and they look through a magazine, whatever, you know, there'll be ads there for these hospitals. So it's obvious that no matter how big these hospitals are, they still need community support.
That's right.
So tell us about, you know, what people can do here in El Paso.
Well, we have programs like this where you can do a pledge. You can name a room. You can name a floor. You can name a program. We have a naming rights program called the Milagro Campaign for El Paso Children's, and that's ongoing. We write grants, and we do a lot of direct ask and involve people in every way we can. The more they understand of what it means to have the specialized care here, the easier it is to get that kind of support. We're approaching almost $15 million that we've raised since we started for El Paso Children's Hospital in a variety of ways. That's just something that we continue to build, and you're right. St. Jude's has been a part of the fiber of our TV experience and experience when you think of pediatric cancer in the country for a lot of years. But that's a 70-bed hospital, and it's very far away. Children's is a 120-bed hospital. One whole floor is dedicated to hematology oncology. And these are jobs that are here. These are families that are here, and they're coming from regionally. They're coming from southern New Mexico. They're coming from West Texas. They're coming from the interior of Mexico, and some of them with money in their hand. Not everybody from Mexico, you know, is without resources. And so this is a regional referral center, but the doctors that are working there, Dr. Carcamo, Dr. LaCaze, Dr. Hartman, and several others, we have our own pediatric chemotherapy pharmacist, okay? That's his specialty. And, you know, these doctors, they decided they wanted to be a pediatrician. Then they went several years beyond that to get a specialty. Then they went several years beyond that for a fellowship, most of them. So these are very special people that have dedicated a huge part of their life to learn this very specific science that's around this.
Denise, you mentioned about, you know, people coming in from southern New Mexico or from Mexico. And so they may not have to travel as far as, you know, going to St. Jude's or anywhere else. But sometimes these people do have to come in from Albuquerque or, you know, somewhere else in Mexico. And so people might wonder, well, what about the family? What do you have as far as, like, places for the family to stay while their little one is here being taken care of?
Well, I don't know if you've never seen the rooms at El Paso Children's Hospital. These are the largest rooms the architect had ever designed for any hospital. And we said, no, you don't understand. They're going to come. They're going to come, and they're all going to come. They're going to come together. They're going to bring their igloo cooler. They're going to set up camp. And it's so funny because within 24 hours of a child being admitted to the hospital, the room is transformed. There's stuffed animals. There's balloons. There's flowers. There's cards. There's toys. They've settled in to cope with what they're coping with. And so we provide, there's a family resource center that was made possible through the Junior League. That was a major gift so there's lots of resources available there, as well as, you know, I mean, once you've been there for a while, the oncology kids are some of the longest. There's a inpatient outpatient clinic right there on the floor that is the infusion center. So if these are fragile systems, in case someone needs additional support, they can be directly admitted to a bed right from there onto the floor. And so their infusion center is right there. If there's a closed curtain, it's because there's a kid behind there with a needle in his arm that's going through treatment and therefore an infusion treatment.
You guys are always doing something, and as you mentioned earlier, it costs a lot of money for some of this research, and you get grants, but that's not always enough. And so tell us about some of the things that are coming up that you all are doing to raise funds.
We have a telethon. We have the Milagro Gala coming up March 24th, and that's probably one of El Paso's largest events. We'll probably have about 1,200 people there this year. It's our sixth year, and we have last year we netted about $260,000 in one evening with that event, and so we're going for $300,000 this year. We've done various things with that, but we are dedicating our focus this year to the oncology group, and we're actually moving to a level 4 NICU. You got level 1 trauma center, and that's the highest, but in the neonatal intensive care area, the numbers get bigger. So level 4 is the highest area in the NICU, and they're advancing that. If you're a mom with a baby with an issue for the first time, you're just a high speed elevator away from mother baby unit to the NICU. We have 52 beds in the NICU. Half of them are usually babies that just need a little more time, you know, before they can go home, and the other half are dealing with some far more serious issues. And so our money will be dedicated between both those areas.
Tell us, you mentioned earlier Facebook and social media. So a lot of people are using social media to find out about things. No more phone books, no more, you know.
I know, can you, do they still make phone books?
Yes.
I love phone books. Well, we are using Facebook and Google Ads, that kind of thing. I mean, I think, you know, we're all busy people, and we've watched this issue get for a while now go away, and so go back and forth. And so here we are. We feel like we've got a big reset button here. The hospital is still only it's going to be 5 years old in February. There will be a big celebration there. And so, you know, we've gone, it's like I think of it, particularly since I've worked on it from the beginning, like a 5-year-old child that had a serious illness for a little bit of time and is now coming back out of it. It's not dissimilar to what our patients go through. And so there's a very healthy, robust environment there now. And we want to do everything we can to support that. And so every dollar counts, and there's a real patient and a real family at the end of every dollar that will be affected right here in our community.
And if people want to find out more about the hospital and about what you all are doing in El Paso and the region, if they go to your webpage or to your Facebook page, tell us a little bit about what they can find out by navigating there.
Well, I think our webpage really tells a lot about what we do. It's El Paso Children's Foundation, elpaso.org, El Paso Children's Foundation.org, sorry. And there we show from each area much of the equipment we've donated. We show you where the dollars went and what we contributed back to the hospital and what role it played in patient care. The triple win for us is if we improve a patient experience and make it possible for a physician to do a job they weren't able to do as easily before, or expand the service that they're able to provide, and affect medical education, because there's resident programs tied to a lot of these. And so a lot of our gifts do that. But it's a great deal of impact. At this point, Children's has cared for close to 68,000 unique patients in their 5 years. That's one in every five El Paso children. So that's a lot of impact for any donor. We guarantee you that we have an area where you would feel very proud to be part of what we make happen.
And sometimes you mentioned healing arts and arts, and the children sometimes express how they're feeling through their artwork. And we've seen Christmas cards through mm-hmm. the Miracle Network or Children's Miracle Network or through MD Anderson. And there are so many great pieces of art done by the children.
Right.
Can they see some of those on the webpage? Or
yes,
Facebook?
I believe they can. There's an area there for therapeutic arts and where we show what we've done in that area. And there's also on each section, there's an area where they see a little bit of the art that's on each floor from largely local and regional artists. But last year for part of gala, we gave everybody mouse pads. It had a piece of children's art on it, and it's like this incredible sunrise with flowers. And I mean, it's just this beautiful piece of art that you never tire looking at. And you know that some kid on a rough day was kind of able to distract themselves a little bit. And actually, you know, I mean, it's one of those sensory experiences that's just it's good for the soul, whether you're sick or not, you know, to put a pen or a crayon or a little bit of color on a piece of paper and do something with it. And so some of these kids get hooked on art, you know.
Well, Denise, we've really enjoyed visiting with you. And if you wouldn't mind giving us, again, the web address that people can go to find out more about this.
It's elpasochildrensfoundation.org, and they can call 521-7229 if they have questions about anything or if we can help them, if they have an idea of something they'd like to do. It's our job to help you do a good deed and to link it up with something that will have real impact.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you very much.
We've been visiting with Denise Knight, Executive Director of the El Paso Children's Hospital Foundation. The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. Our producer is Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Luis Sainz.